Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development, or
a sub of a subcommittee.
Mr. Marsh, good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Just for a few minutes, I'd like to respond with the answers to questions. You should have a sheet that looks like this before you. From the testimony and discussion on April 3rd, and just to summarize these, the first was a question relating to a cost analysis comparing the cost of bank transaction fees with the savings generated by accepting credit card payments at Motor Carrier Division. A couple of paragraphs there to indicate that it's been a simpler transaction process. You can transact business over the phone. The estimate has been that most of the positions reduced since Motor Carrier came to ODOT in 1995 have been reduced because of the ability to have the credit cards available. That's been 77 FTE over those periods, who were registration permit analyst positions for the most part in the field ports of entry. Therefore, the bottom line to the discussion is that you have the 77 FTE, which is approximately $6 million worth of savings. The cost of the credit cards are about $10,000 per month. So for a biennium, that would be $240,000. And not, as we indicate, not the full amount of the savings is due to the credit cards, but a significant portion. So it clearly pays for itself, even if only about half to 55% of the positions were related to the credit card issue. That's the first question. The second on the backside were statistical questions, and if there's follow-up, we can get into that as Highway is completing their presentation today. They indicate the number of lane miles, bridges, culverts, drainage installations on the page there. I did want to indicate that there has been some confusion in the past over types of miles on the highway. We indicate lane miles in the discussion here, which is if you have a four-lane road, that means there's four lanes. In the case of centerline miles, however, that shows the miles of actual highway, and that's 7,500 of centerline miles. The third question is providing the number of ditch miles completed or cleaned in fiscal year 2002. Number of ditch miles were 8,215, and the ditches cleaned were 1,437. And the last question, please provide a cost estimate to comply with environmental requirements. As required by statute, we have done an analysis each year since the bill passed. In 2001, it was estimated to be about $35 million for the cost of compliance with environmental and related requirements, federal and state. In 2002, it was $24 million, which happens to be about 3.6% of the Highway and Transportation Development Division budgets. And the reason for the change was a significantly number of fewer modernization projects in 2002 than in 2001. And the payout process and the amount of environmental requirements hit much harder on the modernization projects. Madam Chair, members, I'm open to any questions if there's a follow-up. If not, Highway can come up.
Are there questions?
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Duke, members of the subcommittee. For the record, I'm Lori Byerly from the Department of Administrative Services Budget Management Division. And I think this morning we left off with starting to talk about the highway safety area. You should find a handout in front of you. Right one? In your stack of paper. We're doing MOD. Does it matter? No, go ahead, do MOD. I can do whichever one we want. MOD, then. Are we ready to go with MOD? Modernization program. If we take a look on page 2, you'll see that the modernization program within the Highway Division is about 16% of the division's expenditures. Modernization includes projects that add capacity to the state highway system. If you look on page 3 of your handout, you'll see kind of a budget comparison of the program area's expenditures over time. You'll see that from the 2001-03 close of session to the 2003-05 governor's budget, there's an increase of about 50% in expenditures. This relates directly to anticipated payouts on modernization projects over the course of the 03-05 biennium, as well as additional dollars from the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, which are going to be funneled into projects and modernization over the next biennium. Take a look on page 4. The governor's budget is a 50% increase from what's going on in the current biennium. It supports projects that add capacity to the highway system. This includes adding lanes, widening roads, building bypasses to help get people places more effectively. It also plans for projects under the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, and there is a package that would increase support for access management activities in this program area. On page 5, you'll see how the program spends its dollars in terms of budget category. 11% is personal services. The rest of that, 89%, is our dollars going out for construction of these modernization projects on the highways in Oregon. Page 6. The 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget was at $169.5 million other funds. We started with that figure to develop the 2003-05 budget. We added in some things that occurred through April 2002 within the current biennium. There was some changes made at the April 2002 meeting of the Emergency Board. Some position and expenditure limitations were moved between the Transportation Program Development Division and the Highway Division. The impact on the modernization program was a decrease of about $500,000 in 4 positions. We've also added in some base budget adjustments for position actions and compensation changes, realizing that based on the governor's budget, that some actions need to be adjusted based on not giving merit increases in 2003-05 and not giving cost of living increases. On page 7, continuing with how we built the budget, we added in some essential packages. Package 010 relates to personal services adjustments that aren't driven directly by specific position costs. We included adjustments for overtime, benefits, as well as some vacancy savings, about $7,000 in adjustments there. Package 020 includes program adjustments. Like we talked about last week, within the Highway Division, the bulk of these adjustments are going to relate to scheduled project payouts for construction projects. These do fluctuate over time. We made an adjustment here of about $20 million to indicate what we expect is going to pay out on projects over the course of the 03-05 biennium. Package 030, inflation and price list adjustments. These are increases for standard inflation and state government service charges, $1.4 million in adjustments related to those activities. Page 8, policy packages and modernizations program. Package 070 relates to revenue shortfalls. What the department did was look agency-wide, make some adjustments to expenditures to correspond with highway revenue projections and allocations. This is a negative number. It is a decrease of $1.5 million here. Package 070. Package 100, Oregon Transportation Investment Act, $66 million in expenditures for modernization projects that are supported by proceeds from revenue bonds that are being sold under the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, or OTIA, as it's commonly called. Package 101, Access Management. This is a net zero package that adds one position to address plans and document strategies for access management issues related to modernization projects. You've seen a similar position being added to some of the other highway program units. The package cost of $123,000 is supported by reductions in existing expenditure line items, so it's kind of self-balancing there. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Representative Krieger. Back on 4, support projects that add capacity to the highway system. Is there any paths, bike lanes, that type of stuff in there?
Representative Krieger, Chair Dukes, I'll let the department speak specifically to that question.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Krieger, yes, on the modernization projects, depending on the type of project, that would it could include bike lanes, curb gutter sidewalks, intersection, signalization. All of those things could be included in a modernization project.
I had a question on Package 070. I guess I'm just surprised to hear revenue shortfall with the ending balance that ODOT has.
Senator Dukes, members of the subcommittee, what the department did was it, as it built the budget, we're talking actions that occurred last spring as we started budget development, took a look at what was projected for highway revenues and made some adjustments within the program divisions all across the board. What those numbers do not reflect is the infusion of dollars from OTIA, because you've got this coming in a separate policy package. So based on projected revenues, the department does maintain a pretty good size ending balance, but part of that is the need to have flexibility, because this whole highway project construction payout plan is pretty hard to pin down in terms of exact timing. There needs to be some flexibility there, since they're developing projects maybe 6 years in advance of when they actually ultimately finally get paid out completely. So there needs to be some flexibility there. The department could probably talk a little bit more about the revenue forecasting process and exactly what some of those parameters were if you'd like that. But that's basically it's kind of an internal rebalance.
Maybe somebody can just mention, I'm guessing that maybe we have more fuel-efficient cars and we have higher gas prices and we have the results of terrorism and people aren't driving, going as much, so maybe we have less gas tax coming in, I guess. I mean, just as in some part of somebody's presentation, we don't have to.
I'll just take a minute, Madam Chair, if I could, just to clarify. ATIA is one component of the department's budget, but there are the other components which don't relate to ATIA. So
is this ATIA? I didn't think it was.
Correct. When a portion of the budget is constrained beyond ATIA, in other words, we have non-ATIA projects and non-ATIA parts of the budget, those elements went through reductions just like general fund have the last couple of years. As the revenues have been less than initially forecast, we have taken reductions in that portion of the budget, but trying not to do it in a way that impacts delivery of ATIA.
Is the ending balance ATIA?
Most of the ending balance is ATIA, yes,
it
Madam
is.
Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm John Rosenberger. I'm the Deputy Director of the Highway Division for ODOT. I would just like to add on to Lori's comments on modernization. This is the program that adds lanes and capacity. In this budget, in addition to the OTIA modernization projects, which was about $200 million, from last session, there's three very large projects that we're moving forward to construction as part of the modernization program. That's the Pioneer Mountain Eddyville, the Redmond Bypass, and the Delta Park Lombard project in the Portland area. All of those projects are in the modernization program, and we're moving those forward to the 05, trying to get those to construction in 05 in conjunction with the earmark and reauthorization process of the federal government. And I guess with that, if there aren't any questions, I would turn it back to Lori for the safety.
If you'll find your handout on highway safety, it's a very familiar gray handout. We'll take a look at page 2 real quickly. Safety comprises about 3% of the highway division's expenditures. If you look on page 3, you'll see a budget comparison over time. The purpose of the highway safety program within the division is to help to identify solutions that reduce the number of traffic accidents and crash-prone areas. This program's pretty focused on trying to improve safety in the state system. If you look at the difference between the 2001-03 close of session figure and the 2003-05 governor's budget, you'll see an increase of about 7.2%. The budget is kind of flat. There's not a lot of increases there. You don't see the types of construction projects coming through this program unit like you do in some of the other areas within highway. Take a look on page 4. Like I just mentioned, the governor's budget is a 7.2% increase from what's been going on during 2001-03. The bullets below are not really specific to the safety program, but kind of reflect what's going on overall within the highway division. Continue to allocate resources to address the state's bridge problem, plan for projects under OTIA, and increase support for access management. Safety in particular does not really see a direct impact related to these activities, but as part of the highway division is impacted in a more general way. If you look on page 5, you'll see how this program unit spends its dollars by budget category. The largest portion of this is going out in services and supplies expenditures related to highway safety projects. Personal services is at about 14%, relates back to that 45 positions that this are currently located within this program unit. Take a look on page 6, how we built the 2003-05 governor's budget. We began with the 2001-03 legislatively adopted figure of $44 million other funds, included legislatively approved actions up through April 2002. Once again, there were changes related to an April 2002 emergency board action where positions were transferred between program development and the highway division. This related to some direction to consolidate highway planning and research activities. And that occurred during the 2001 legislature. The net impact on the highway safety program is a decrease of about $600,000 in five positions. Base budget adjustments were included that roll up some position actions and compensation changes. Page 7, essential and policy packages. Package 010 relates to personal services adjustments that are not directly generated by position salaries.
adjustments for overtime, benefits, and vacancy savings of just under $10,000. Package 020, program adjustments relating to expenditures for payouts on statewide transportation improvement projects, $2 million there for safety projects. Package 030, inflation and priceless adjustments, increases for inflation and state government service charges of about $472,000. And the only policy package for this area is an access manager package, which would add one position funded by decreases in existing expenditures to address plans and document strategies for access management issues related specifically to highway safety projects. That concludes my overview of the program unit. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Senator Curtis.
Well, I think I would be very interested. I'm not sure the committee. I'd be very interested since the governor said that he would do economic development strategies through the Department of Transportation. Where in this overall package can we expect some policy changes to come about? Maybe not just this one, but looking at the economic development a strategy that he had, he said, would come through the Department of Transportation. Where is that? In which of these plans would we see this? Which department? I mean?
Chair Duke, Senator Carter, are you specifically referring to the transportation package that's been being discussed currently?
Currently,
Chair Duke, Senator Carter, the governor has proposed a transportation package that would provide additional dollars supported by revenue bonds, supported by some increases in some of the fees within the department to get more money out on the road like we've done with OTIA. I think the economic development piece of this is, one, it gets projects out there, it gets jobs out there, it provides wages. But I think also these projects are, some of them will be tied directly to opening up areas for businesses to locate, for for improvements or economy, and will have economic benefits there. I don't know that any package in the budget as it's currently developed specifically has an economic development focus as the governor's balanced budget was prepared. I think you might see more of a direct relationship based on the new package that's being proposed that's not currently in the governor's budget. That's an additional off to the side thing that's being worked out. It's not part of the current budget right here for
us. And Madam Chair, I just think that question is appropriate because
Absolutely.
It would be good for this committee to be a part of the cutting edge of the direction in which this economic development strategy is going, so that when it comes to us, we will have had the opportunity to see it. But I understand now, so that package has not been presented and it is not a part of what's going on.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Certainly. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To follow up on Senator Carter's comments, it's not directed to the safety, but the issue she was raising would be for this committee to understand why we have almost not quite a third of the budget that is left in ending balance. If we're going into this biennium with an ending balance of in excess of $500 million, projected to leave 05 with an ending balance of in excess of $500 million, to understand why that's occurring and if there's anything that we can do to accelerate projects. Looking at the history, you've had ending balances much, much less, 4 to 5 times less, which would seem to be raises the question as to why we're carrying such high ending balances, particularly when the multiplier effect for jobs is 500 times 19 as per your own calculation. And that's a huge impact on our economy to put those into play. So to the extent that we could understand why, and if there's any way that by policy we can accelerate that, that plays to the issues that Senator Carter is raising. So that would be a very important issue to me, and I know it is to our chair.
Yes.
As to why we can't get those funds into play.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, I can address that now, or I can do it later in the presentation.
I would suggest maybe when George and Carter are here, maybe if we could talk about that, because I know it is a major concern that. How do we get those dollars into play?
Yeah, maybe if you can just take a part of your presentation as you're doing it later. And
okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, in response on the highway safety, the safety investment program is one that tries to identify the most serious accident locations in the state and then find the most cost-effective way to reduce those fatalities. The Oregon Highway Plan has a goal of 1.30 fatalities per million vehicle miles traveled by the year 2010. We have in 2002, or in the year 2000, we were up to about 1.29, but we still are exceeding our goal. I would point out that in addition to this program, all of the other programs in the STIP, in the State Transportation Improvement Program, modernization, bridge, preservation, local programs, all can also contain a component of safety within all of those projects.
Senator Norris.
Thank you. What typically would be included in the operations component of the budget of $36 million?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, the operations portion would be slides that we would plan to improve, rock falls, the ITS system, our intelligent transportation system, that's the cameras that we have around the state, the variable message signs like the newest ones we put on Interstate 5. It includes signs, signals, street lights or illumination, and it also includes our TDM program, our transportation demand management.
The FTE of 42.9 would not include the FTEs in operations?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, I do not believe so.
They're separate. Okay.
That's correct.
Madam Chair.
Senator Carter.
Being an urban legislator, I want you guys to know those signs are so great. They really help us to detour if I want to get across the bridge to go into East Portland. So thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Carter, thank you. I will pass that on.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. Thank you. Where would we find the labor that's in operations, the FTE?
Our next presentation, Senator Moore.
Coming up next. Coming up. Okay. I'll defer the question. Thank you.
Chair Dukes, members of the subcommittee, it sounds like we're ready for operations.
I think so.
So if you'll find that operations handout, let's take a look on page 2 of the handout. You see that operations is about 2% of the highway division expenditure plan. Take a look on page 3. As John already mentioned, there's several different things going on in operations, but essentially these are areas where the department's trying to improve efficiency of the highway system and makes use of information technology to help with some traffic issues. And also does some projects to replace infrastructure to help improve that traffic efficiency. If you look at the difference between the 2103 close of session figure and the 2305 governor's budget, you'll see there's a decrease here. This is about 36%. This is predominantly due to a structural realignment. Some positions relating to the transportation maintenance, what's that? TMOC. I lost the acronym.
Help me. Traffic Management
Operations
Center. Which works with getting traffic running smoothly, especially in the Portland area. There's some positions associated with that activity that were moved to the special programs area. So that's basically what this change is due to. It's a structural realignment between moving some positions related to that activity to a different program unit. So there's been no real decrease in services. Something was just moved. And you'll see a change in FTE that relates to that as well. Take a look on page 4. Like I said, the governor's budget is a decrease from the 2103 allegedly approved number, but this is due to some movement of positions. The budget continues core programs, relies on technology to help solve transportation problems, and increases support for access management and intelligent transportation systems maintenance. On page 5, you'll see that about half of the budget is services and supplies, about half is personal services. This is where some of those people would be that Senator Morse was asking about earlier, the labor that goes out on some of these activities. Are parked in that program area. On page 6, how we started developing the budget was with the 2103 legislatively approved figure of $56.7 million. Included legislatively approved actions for April 2002, This is in April 2002, the Emergency Board approved some movement of positions and activities between Transportation Program Development and the Highway Division. These transfers impacted operations program by creating a decrease of about $700,000 in 12 positions. We included base budget adjustments related to position actions and compensation changes. On page 7, made adjustments related to essential packages. Package 010 relates to personal services adjustments, $11,000 in adjustments for overtime, benefits, and vacancy savings. Package 020 program adjustments. We phased out some expenditures related to STIP projected payouts, $17 million there. This means that we anticipate there will be fewer projects in this area paying out in 0305 than had been paying out in 0103. Package 030, inflation and price adjustments of about $1.2 million for standard inflation and state government service charges. On page 8, there was a package 070 adjustment related to the revenue adjustments we talked about earlier. $81,000 was the impact here on highway operations. Compared to some of the other program units, it's relatively minor. Package 101, access management, adds a position to address plans and document strategies for access management issues related specifically to operations projects. This is very similar to the positions we've seen added in some of the other program units. Package 472, ITS support coordinator. This package decreases some services and supplies expenditures so that the program unit can transfer some dollars to the central services program unit. That unit will use the dollars to help pay for a position to maintain the intelligent transportation system devices in Region 5. The other regions have positions that are able to do that already. Region 5 needed some additional assistance to provide that maintenance service. Since the completion of the governor's budget, the department has also identified a couple of position-related changes that need to be made. There's a representation code change that needs to make on a position. The position is currently classified as a SEIU represented position. It actually needs to belong to the engineers union. And there's also another position that is incorrectly classified. It needs to have the classification number changed. The fiscal impact of these changes would be about $1,500 for the biennium, and the department would like to request that as part of a technical adjustment. Other than that, that pretty much concludes my brief overview of the program area. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, or the department can take care of them as well.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to recast my previous question. I was looking at the wrong pie chart. What was curious to me was back on the safety program, the services and supplies of $40 million, what was the typically in that expenditure category?
Oh.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, contractor payments for projects.
Okay.
Would that be true also on the page 8?
Are you in operations budget?
Package 030, increase for inflation, state government services charges. I'd like to see a breakdown of that. Is that pretty high?
Senator Carter Churdukes, this program unit has been treated like the other ones as far as inflation. It pretty much the standard inflation has been 3.5% on most of the services supplies charges. If you were to look in your budget binder, you'd see by line item where those expenditures are happening. But, I mean, it's pretty much the standard 3.5%. If you were to look at each of the program units, it'd be about the same percentage. There's nothing special going on here. It's all based on existing services supply dollars and then taking a percentage of that increase.
But we don't know what the outcome of that will be ultimately. I mean, that's the general government subcommittee looking through DAS's budget.
Senator Dukes, Chair Dukes, we are, I believe, still looking at the Department of Administrative Services, which is the key player in determining what some of those state service charges are. Not within that line item, but related are charges related to the Department of Justice, Attorney General costs. There's also some other agencies as well that do receive benefit, who do get paid via this service charge that goes through DAS to other agencies. So there should be some adjustments to those numbers once we've finalized budgets and gotten agencies through work session, we'll know what the impact that will be. I also believe that Legislative Fiscal Office is working and taking a look at that standard inflation figure we used for governor's budget, and we'll likely make some adjustments to that as well. So this is an area we'll see a decrease. What the extent of that will be, I don't know at this point.
We were all told that there wouldn't be any inflation in this budget, and not just yours, in 03-05.
Right. That adjustment will be made during work session.
Okay. Chair. So it'll be interesting to see how much the adjustment for inflation, how much it goes down when we don't have any inflation in the budget. I'm just curious as to whether it'll go all the way down or whether it'll only go part way down.
Chair Dukes, part of that, I mean, if you were to take the inflation out completely, a big portion of that number would go down, but some of that would stay because depending on what happens with those other agencies and what the drivers behind an increase to some of those central service charges are, it could be that those are strictly based on the receiving agency's inflation, but there could be some other things going on with their budget that require, so it will depend on what ultimately happens with the agency receiving the dollars. Like Susie just said, inflation as well as merit increase adjustments, those were things that were proposed as part of the governor's budget that did not get necessarily reflected in each individual agency, depending on where we were in terms of development timelines. So that's why ODOT was one that this stuff didn't occur within the governor's budget. It occurred outside of the actual agency's budget figures. So we'll be making those adjustments. But you may see some agencies where those things have been incorporated already, simply because they may have been at a different point in budget development when those decisions were made.
And Senator Dukes and Senator Carter, that number is all inflation. There are no state government service charges in this particular program area, according to their budget.
I have a question. Maybe it's just Monday. It didn't take much to confuse me this morning. We have, off this first pie chart, we have modernization, safety, and operations. Will we be getting pie charts for the rest of them that are on this, or an explanation for the rest of them, or is that what we get?
Chair Dukes, members of the subcommittee, we're doing each one of these at a time. On that pie chart, we've been doing each of these sections. So far, we have done maintenance, preservation, bridge, safety, operations, and modernization. We've been doing them each in a section, yeah.
I completely forgot about them over the weekend. There's just no easy way to get a handle on something this big, I guess. I used to have a better handle than I do today.
That's Senator Dukes. We did the maintenance, preservation, and bridge on Thursday, and you were absent that day. You were for that hearing. So you missed those.
Remember Thursday.
but the material should be in your notebook, so.
All the questions that you have are really right.
Good. So he's got that part. I can.
We did that.
But those with the materials.
The materials are.
But Madam Chair, I do have a question.
Sandra Carter.
When you look at, I think it's really interesting how the cost of maintenance. Are we getting a hold of that? Because when you look at the cost of maintaining some of bridges and other preservation, and modernization, and those two categories, because I still see where the cost of preservation is much higher, was at least $1 million or something higher than modernization. Are we getting a good handle on how we are modernizing not only equipment but bridges and highways so that we can, in the next 5 or so years, we'll see the preservation cost going down?
Madam Chair, Senator Carter, the system overall is aging. There are more vehicles traveling on the system. Even with the money that we are putting in all of the categories, we're losing ground, both on bridge, pavement preservation. Later in my discussion, we'll talk about the performance measures, and you'll be able to see very clearly that not only is the bridge, but also the pavement of the state system is declining.
Believe me, I understand. I have an old house. I know what it is to have to preserve when it really is costly. And I was just wondering if we were going in a direction where we can, you know, see some of those costs. And you're right.
Okay.
That's next.
Chair Dukes, I think maybe John has something to say about operations. And then
Chair Dukes, members of the committee, on page 132 and 133 is the highway operation program. It includes proactive work on slides and rock falls. In addition, that's where we are using technology to try and improve the system, at least for the travelers. Congestion, particularly in the Portland area, through the use of ramp metering. In the rural areas, using variable message signs and highway cameras. And then we have a very successful program called Trip Check, where you can go on the internet and you can, for travelers who are interested in the road conditions, we have cameras stationed throughout the state where you can check particularly the mountain passes in the winter. We also have, this program includes the Transportation Demand Management Program, where we fund programs to reduce the number of vehicles on Oregon's highways, and you can see in the larger metropolitan areas where we have those programs. And do you have any questions? Okay.
Chair Dukes, members of the subcommittee, I believe Susie just handed you the handout on local government. So take a look on page 2. Once again, this is the pie chart that shows the highway division overall, and you'll see that local government is about 13% of the expenditures within the whole highway division. On page 4, you'll see how the program unit budget has changed over time. About 25% of the federal dollars coming into the state go to local programs through ODOT. ODOT's the primary kind of the conduit for getting those dollars out to the local government. Besides funneling dollars through the projects, the area also provides technical assistance to local governments in getting these projects up and moving. If you look at the change between the 2001-03 close of session figure and the 2003-05 governor's budget, you'll see about a 29.5% increase. If you look at the change from fifth special session, you'll see about a 3% difference. So this program is receiving some additional dollars, both through distribution of highway fund revenue, federal dollars, and OTIA. If you look on page 4, you'll see that the governor's budget is increased from where it's been during the 2001-03 biennium. It does plan for projects under the Oregon Transportation Investment Act, and it does increase agency staffing to help implement local government projects. There's a package that will provide some additional resources for the program to do that. On page 5, you'll see how the program unit spends its dollars by budget category. The bulk of this, about 80%, is going out in services and supplies dollars. These are contractor payments, as well as payments to local government. Special payments, 21%. Personal services at 2%, a pretty small portion of where this program unit is spending its dollars. Back on page 3, you'll see that about 22 positions is what is in this program area as far as direct Department of Transportation employees working in this area. On page 6, how we got to the 2003-05 governor's budget started with the 2001-03 legislatively adopted figure of $161.8 million. Added actions that occurred through April 2002 that were approved by the legislature. This included an emergency board action that moved some positions and expenditure limitation around to consolidate highway planning and research activities. The impact on local government was an increase of $3.9 million. So this action did result in an increase to the program unit's budget. We included base budget adjustments for position actions and compensation changes. And then on page 7, made some adjustments related to essential packages. Personal services adjustments in package 010 accounts for an increase of $13,000 in the program unit's budget. Program adjustments in package 020, which relates to the phase-in of expenditures for payouts on transportation improvement projects. $1.3 million there was added into the budget to support those projected payouts. Package 030, as we talked about earlier, included some inflation and price list adjustments of about $950,000. On page 8, policy packages. Package 070 relates to the department's efforts to try and allocate highway fund revenue based on revenue projections and department-wide allocations, a decrease of $3,000 for this program unit there. Package 100, Oregon Transportation Investment Act of $40 million. This adds expenditure limitation for 2003-05 local government projects that are supported by the proceeds from OTIA bonds. Package 103, local government project implementation of $1.5 million. This is the package I mentioned that does add some resources for this program unit. In order to meet workload needs, which the department's seeing, it's like to add seven positions. The program unit's seeing an increase in both project volume and scope. Staff who would be located both in central and regional offices would assist in project selection, construction engineering, interagency agreement negotiation, personal services contracts completion, and support functions to help facilitate getting construction projects up, moving, and completed as soon as possible. And that completes my overview of the governor's budget. Any questions?
Representative Smith.
I'm going to digress a little bit, and I apologize to the committee for that. When I look at the first page on the local governments, it has multiple different categories being funded at multiple different levels. How do you prioritize those? Are we just putting money into modernization and bridge and preservation and maintenance? Where's the true need? Does 3% of the money going to safety truly represent that only 3% of the money should be going to safety, and that 16% going to modernization should only be 16%?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, the Oregon Transportation Commission, as they update the statewide transportation improvement program every 2 years, makes an allocation in each of these categories based on anticipated revenues. I could say fairly confidently in the amount allocated in all of the categories is probably not sufficient to meet the need, but it is a balancing between modernization, preservation. Some of the local government money is pass-through money that by agreement for like bridges, federal dollars go to local governments, but they pass through us. Those are set either by statute or by the federal government. But it is the Transportation Commission's responsibility to balance the allocations as they do that, and then we work for a year with local governments, cities and counties, to identify projects that will satisfy the allocation.
Just to follow up, just so I understand this, so I guess it's the approach is it's better to take the limited pot of money and spread it as thinly as possible to cover multiple areas rather than specifically targeting problem areas, addressing that issue, and then moving to the next issue?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, it is a balancing of priorities. I think what we have seen is the Commission has moved money to bridge as bridge has become more critical. In past years, they have moved money to preservation as the system deteriorated more. The modernization, at least the dollars that come to the state that are set by statute, we spend the minimum on modernization at the request of the commission, and those where there are tremendous modernization needs, we only spend what is required by law. We spend at the minimum, and the rest of those dollars are put to other uses, whether they be preservation, bridge, or safety.
One last, but we're continuing to slip down and down and down. I'm not advocating for more taxes, but to me it seems like the spreading approach, while I understand the rationale, maybe there needs to be another source of funding to say, okay, for the next 3 years, we're just going to hit on bridges. And then after that, we're going to step back and we're going to focus on modernization. And then after that, we're going to go to maintenance probably always has to be taken care of, but I'm just thinking out loud. I apologize, committee.
Fine, Representative Smith. And the decision made by the commission wasn't made in a vacuum. It came with a lot of input from staff. Would you like them to put together maybe a two-pager on what their recommendations were to the commission?
That'd be terrific.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Representative Krieger.
Chair Dukes, you mentioned pass-through dollars to the cities. Can you describe what that is, source, what they're using it for? Is it up or down in this budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, there are federal dollars that come to the state, which we allocate to cities and counties. State share dollars are also allocated to cities and counties. I can't tell you, but I can get back to you on whether those numbers are up or down for cities and counties.
I'd like to know.
Senator Morris.
Are those transfer payments included within the local government program global budget?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, yes.
No more questions, it looks like.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the local program is our cooperative effort with local governments. Over the last year, we put a lot of administrative emphasis on the local program. We've used our internal auditing functions, and we've actually relocated, rehoused where the local program is administered. It is now administered directly through my office. What we're trying to do is improve the level of work with local governments. We have liaisons in each of the five districts. With the OTIA program, local governments are responsible for one-third of the 173 projects that have been identified. So it is incumbent on us to make sure that they can be successful in delivering. Later on, you'll hear from Mr. Tyndall about our policy package where we're asking for additional resources to continue to improve that program.
Okay.
Chair Dukes, members of the committee, if you'll find in front of you the special programs handout, actually it says special programs / utility permit. For purposes of display, we've combined. There's actually a small limitation, a separate limitation for utility permits that we've combined with special programs for display purposes. If you look on page 2, you'll see that special programs and utility right-of-way program comprise about 11% of what's going on within the highway division. If you look on page 3, you'll see how that special programs budget has changed over time. Special programs is a mix, like it says, of several special different programs that John will talk about in more detail after I get completed with my presentation. And like I said earlier, this does also include some limitation related to the utility right-of-way program. You'll note that from the 2103 close of session figure to the 2003-05 governor's budget, there's a decrease of about 4.5%. If you compare the figures between mid-2103, that 2103 fifth special session number, and the governor's budget, you'll see a decrease of about 2.4%. This decrease is due, I mentioned earlier, and when we were talking about the operations program, how there had been some shifting of positions and work between the two areas related to the Transportation Management Operations Center. This is why you'll see that increase in FTE, and a portion of the expenditures relate directly to that shift of organizational shift. It's like we saw the decrease in operations, we see an increase in the special program side. On page 4, the governor's budget is a 2.4% decrease. It plans for projects under the Oregon Transportation Investment Act and increases support for access management and maintenance facilities activities. On page 5.
Senator Carter.
Lori, can we just go back to page 2?
Sure.
And tell me, what's the distinction between conservation and maintenance?
Senator Carter, Chair Dukes, I will try. The department can probably do a better job of explaining that.
I'll wait, Lori.
Preservation is primarily asphalt preservation overlay. Maintenance includes a whole bunch of things like stuff alongside the road, cutting the grass, a variety of activities.
What kind
of
head shaking? I'm okay.
Good job. Good job.
So back on page 5, how the program unit spends its dollars by budget category. Let's see, about half of this is in personal services. About half is in services supplies, which would be contractor-type payments. This is an area that's a little bit more personal services intensive than some other program areas because we've got a myriad of smaller special-type projects where the department's actually doing more stuff, and in some of the other program units, it's actually making more payments out. So that's why you see kind of the shift to a heavier percentage of personal services. On page 6, how we got to the 2003-05 governor's budget. We started with the 0103 figure of $174.9 million, included some changes that were approved by the legislature over the course of the 0103 biennium. During the April 2002 emergency board, the movement of some limitation positions was approved. The impact to this particular program unit, net impact was a decrease of 6.1 million, 24 positions. So there was also, aside from the change limitation in positions between transportation program development and the highway division, there was also some movement of some civil rights program positions. These had been historically located within the highway division, but the department wanted to move these positions to central services so they have more of an agency-wide, kind of agency-level type role. So that shift was also approved by that April 2002 emergency board. We also included base budget adjustments related to position actions and compensation changes. On page 7, we included essential packages. Package 010 relates to personal services adjustments. There were some adjustments for overtime, benefits, and vacancy savings, a decrease of $109,000. Package 020 included phase-outs of expenditures or payouts on STIP projects. This was a decrease of $22.8 million. Part of this number also includes a phase-out related to fleet budget adjustments. Package 030, inflation again, $2.4 million for inflation adjustments in 0305. Page 8, policy package. Package 070, revenue shortfalls. The first portion of this package included transferring the transfer in of 74 positions. We had talked about some of the program units. We're transferring out positions to special programs based on the revenue projection and the way they were going to allocate revenue to different program units. So special programs received an increase, and some positions came in based on those adjustments. Along with the positions, in order to help support those, the program unit did make some reductions in overtime, services, supplies, and capital outlay expenditures to help support the additional position costs. The second piece of this package relates to fees that needed to be ratified. A couple of different actions occurred over the 2003 regular session. There were two different bills passed, one related to utility permitting and one related to outdoor advertising. Based on an attorney general opinion, it was determined that highway fund would not appropriately support these two activities, and so both of these programs were directed by legislation to implement a fee structure to help provide support for the department to manage these programs. So we had what we did in order to allow for this body to approve the ratification of the fees the department has established was we took the revenue and positions out of the budget at this level, and then we restored them in a policy package. The utility permit program relates to utility right-of-way functions along highway construction projects, and there is a set of fees that are in place now to provide support for that program so the department can manage it. The outdoor advertising program regulates signs that are visible from state highways. People need permits to be able to put those signs up. And there's a fee now that will help the department manage that program. Package 081 relates to actions made during the 2002 third special session. This eliminates cost of living increases for 12 positions that are at salary range 38 or above. Like we mentioned earlier, since this point in time, it's been determined that there will be some increases eliminated for other types of positions as well, but those have not been incorporated in this governor's budget at this point. Package 100, Oregon Transportation Investment Act, $135,000. Currently, the department has two limited duration contract coordinator positions, which are helping complete actions on personal services contracts for OTIA projects. This would reauthorize those positions for the next biennium to keep getting contracts up and completed so those projects can get out on the pavement, I guess, or for want of another term. The package will be supported by OTIA revenue bond proceeds. On page 9, package 101, access management. This adds a position to help with access management issues related to special programs. Unlike some other packages we saw earlier, there are dollars in this package as well to pay for digitizing maps to help with access management issues. Package 102, the department has a couple of positions that need to be changed based on a review of current workload based on what they're currently classified. There is a cost of about $7,000 other funds for reclassifying these positions to the appropriate level. This package is funded by a decrease in services and supplies expenditures to offset that personal services increase. Package 104 relates to alternative delivery, $537,000. The department is striving to try and use as many new and different ways as possible of getting contracts out to get OTIA projects up and moving more quickly. These positions, four of them, would help oversee, administer, and implement processes for outsourced project contracting. On page 10, package 489 relates to the Lake of Woods Capital Construction Project. This is not an expenditure, a change for the program unit, but it does transfer $1 million other funds to the capital construction program to pay for the construction of a new maintenance garage at the Lake of the Woods maintenance area. Package 495 relates to those two fees I mentioned earlier, the outdoor advertising fee and the utility permit fees. This would bring that revenue and expenditures back in for your approval so the department can continue maintaining those programs. These were fees that were increased by the agency for by administrative rule over the course of the biennium that are subject to ratification. And I believe later in the week we'll talk about the agency's fee bill that these fees are a part of. That concludes my overview. If you have any questions.
Representative Krieger.
Regarding your fee bill, outdoor advertising, when we get that bill, we're actually taking a look at it and make sure we understand the percent of increase, the rationale for it, and what was the input that was allowed from those who own the signs.
Since you know that the chair has a particular interest in access management, and I see pieces of it, I mean, understandably, it's scattered throughout different sections of the area. Could you put together one that just has it all in one place?
Senator Dukes, we're having a specific presentation by the department on Wednesday for access management that will do all of that.
For those of us who are visually inclined, it'll be in pictures. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the special program in the department, there's really sort of four key areas. There's the project component. That includes like the state enhancement program. Those are federal funds that we receive, and then it's a competitive cities and counties can compete for projects. There's a committee made up of members of the community and then a member of the OTC that actually select the projects to be that will be constructed with enhancement dollars. It's the salmon and watershed program that supports the Oregon Salmon Initiative. It's where our bike and pedestrian program is housed. The immediate opportunity program, that's the program where we work with industry and also the other state agencies to assist in the location of jobs. If a highway improvement is needed, there is... We have a pot of money that's available for to assist industry in developing in Oregon. Excuse me. It also includes jurisdictional exchanges where we transfer roads to cities or counties, and along with that, we transfer funds for a period of time for either maintenance or improvement. The second piece is sort of the operational support that includes our intelligent transportation system, our traffic operations centers, our Comet trucks in the Portland area for emergency response. We have dedicated funds for outdoor advertising, reimbursables that we receive from accidents or from fuel. We have the winter recreation, the snow park permits, and the snowmobile program in the special programs. And as Lori mentioned, we also have the civil rights program, which is mandated, and we also house the surplus property. We manage, sell, and lease right-of-way. We generate about $10 million a year or a biennium from property sales of surplus property. The last piece in the special programs is where the overhead for the department is housed. We have administrative overhead, which is essentially my position, as well as the division and regional managers, our area managers and section managers. We have project indirect. These are types of activities that, while not specific to any project, are generally related to projects, such as our testing laboratory, maintaining our specification and code books, and our standard drawings. And the final piece is of the overhead is our indirect costs. That is things like office expenses, clerical support, general ongoing crew meetings are charged under that, as well as service contracts. And then, as Lori mentioned, we do have the utility and right-of-way reimbursement of utilities. We do require permits for work in the utilities and for the inspection. Will that answer any questions?
Salmon watershed money. Are the projects done out of this section or just the money?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe they are. There are projects. STIP projects that are paid for out of this fund.
Because what I'm thinking of is we went through and did a lot of, or I guess we're still doing, I don't know if we're doing as many culvert replacements. I mean, that was the project. So I'm assuming that doesn't go through the STIP.
No, it does.
It does?
Yeah.
You've got line items in there for culvert replacements? Okay, I take your word.
Chair Dukes, members of the committee, good morning. I'm Doug Tindall, State Maintenance Engineer for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Within the STIP, there is $3 million a year set aside for culvert replacement type projects, specific that are prioritized, come to us from ODFW. There's a lot of other work that we do on culverts in the maintenance area, but those are the specific projects that are dedicated to culvert replacement.
Okay, but they are done through this?
Yes, they are in this program.
Special programs. Representative Krieger.
But with that project that's down on the 101, I think it's the 4 mile creek that got the highway blocked and they're taking an 8-9 foot culvert out, is that one of them, do you know?
Chair Dukes, Representative Krieger, I'm not sure, but I can check for you. It sounds like one, but I'm not positive it's one of those that's in the city.
They're going to a bridge from a culvert, which is surprising.
4 mile creek?
I believe it's 4 mile. It's right at the county line, Coos Prairie.
Okay.
Senator Morris.
The decrease in the budget of 4.5% with an increase in the FTEs of 31.8%. It's not clear to me in the write-ups here how we get that 108 increase in FTEs. I can see where you've added a few here and there. You've transferred 74 positions, looks like, to the utility section. But how do we...
Chair Duke, Senator Morris, on page 7 of that handout, if you look under Package 020 Program Adjustment, and I apologize, this is a lack of clarity on my part, but that package is actually a decrease of $22 million. So that's a big chunk of that decrease right there. Where it says $22.8 million on page 7. That's dollars coming out of the budget relating to the payout, projected payout on STIP payments. So that's a big part of it. Even though, when those positions came over to help, even though the positions came over, it didn't necessarily mean that revenue came with them. So internally, they decreased some other expenditures to help support those positions. So in terms of cost, the 74 positions that came in didn't really bump anything up because they reduced other costs to offset that.
How do we explain the 108 new positions?
Senator Morse, Chair Dukes, there were 74 positions that came over as part of that 070 package. There was also, can't remember the exact number, a bunch of positions that got moved relating to that acronym I can never remember, the Transportation Maintenance Operations Center, TMOC. Traffic Management Operations Center. There was a group of positions that were shifted structurally from highway operations to special programs. I believe it's the guys in the cars that run around Portland and help out when there's problems. Is that part of it? Help.
Chair Duke, Senator Morris, we shifted into special programs all of the Transportation Management Traffic Management Operations Center in Portland, and the other transportation operations centers. We consolidated all of our dispatching into larger blocks rather than having each individual office, district maintenance office, do their own dispatching. We consolidated all that into transportation operations centers. So it includes that. It also includes the incident response people that are distinct from the operations centers that Lori was referring to. I don't know that number of positions exactly, but it's there's a bunch of them. Susie probably does.
It's about 33 FTE for the Transportation Operations Center.
So that's 74 in utility and 33 in the operation centers is the 107 positions.
Additional question, not necessarily follow-up. The on page 6, the decrease of 6.2 million in 24 positions on special programs, what would be included in that amount, special programs, $6.2 million?
Chair Duke, Senator Morris, I'm informed that's the civil rights positions that were moved out of special programs and into central services.
If I may, Chair Duke, Senator Morris, there were two components here related to the April 2002 e-board. Part of it was six positions that moved between special programs and central services. There was also, if I can add, a chunk of positions that moved from central programs to transportation program, the transportation program development division, because of, they were consolidating the highway planning activities. So there's two things going on there. Part of it is six positions going out, and there's another 18 positions going from special programs to transportation program development. And if we went back and looked at the transportation program development numbers, you'd see that increase in that division, which is one of the earlier divisions we discussed the very last week or the week before.
Is that just labor?
Senator Morris, Chair Dukes.
In that number?
I would have to go back and look at the emergency board detail to see. I believe it's part of the limitation relates to the salaries, but part of it relates to the actual payouts on regular activities related to planning. So part of it's service and supplies type expenditures, and part of it is personal services costs. I don't have a breakout, but we can get that for you.
The reason I raised the question is that it calculates it. $257,000 per FTE, which is a huge number.
Senator Morris Churchick, you're correct. It's not strictly a personal services number. There is a service and supplies component to that.
Suffice it to say, when we get into the packages, there'll be some real specific questions. Representative Krieger.
If we were to get a test tomorrow morning on the third day, we're all going to perform. Think about that.
I agree.
Well, every day we hear these. If you were to test us tomorrow on what we heard today, we'd all flunk. So I'm not certain what's missing here. I realize there's some detail, and it's within the agencies, and it's in budgets, and it's transfers of people. You said the Civil Rights Division. How many are in the Civil Rights Division? How many positions was that? Six? So you have six full-time people working on civil rights?
Chair Dukes, Representative Krieger, the agency could probably give you a little more information, but I believe that those civil rights positions are something that's required to receive a substantial portion of our federal money. It's a federal requirement.
Right, right. But the federal,
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Is that requirement, does it specify the number of positions?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, it probably does not specify the positions. It's probably based on workload, but we can get back to you and get you that information.
Follow up on that. While you're pursuing that, I'd be very interested in knowing if the contracts are standard contracts or if each contract is drafted at a conception stage through completion, and then I'd be also interested in knowing how many of those contracts are reviewed.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, could you clarify, please, reviewed? I'm not sure I understand.
If there's 500 contracts a year, are the 500 divided among the six? What I'm trying to figure out is the workload among six people reviewing contracts. I think it'll be very powerful to know if their standard contracts or if they're each individually drafted.
Chair Dukes, Representative Smith, our contracts are, we have a set of standard specifications that's about that big. The only thing that individual contracts have obviously different sets of plans depending on what it is you're trying to construct. But the contract itself is the same contract. The work that goes on in the civil rights area is compliance with on federal jobs, there are specific goals for disadvantaged businesses, and so you bidders will bid that, and you need to ensure that that they are compliant, that in fact those companies are being used as they were bid. You also have labor wage rates that you have to verify. That occurs on both state and federal projects. It's two different. It's a different set. In the state, we have a version of what's called the Davis-Bacon Action. So those are the types of things that are done in those offices and by those folks. And we can get you the numbers of how many contracts we're doing.
We may find out we don't have enough officers.
If a person from Civil Rights was here, they would probably tell you that, yeah.
Senator Morris.
Having been in a firm that is on the receiving end of those services, I would suggest that if management can be done adequately, six people, in the amount of contracting that's occurring and all of the requirements, that's a yeoman's job.
Senator Dukes, members of the committee, one of the other questions the committee asked was, how has the agency been performing? And if you refer to page 145 and 146, the Highway Division has four performance measures that we look at as part of the department's overall performance measures. We look at the number of jobs sustained as part of construction contracts, and the 4,885 jobs, that was based on $279 million worth of construction. We anticipate in 2003 that we will do $290 million worth of construction payments, equaling 5,134 jobs. And as we bring on the OTIA program, as we advance projects in the STIP, we're anticipating the contractor payments to increase substantially in future years. On page 146, pavement condition that is fair or better. As you can see, pavement condition is projected, even with the additional dollars from OTIA, to decline over time. In terms of bridges, many of you have seen the presentation on bridges. The age of the structures, the condition, the cracking problem that we're facing, without additional revenues, the bridges in Oregon will continue to fail. We will continue to have postings, which will impact the economy of the state. The final performance measure is number of miles of stream habitat open to fish as a result of culvert replacement and retrofits. And as you can see, we have been increasing in part with the Oregon the salmon plan. We've been able to put an emphasis on culvert replacement. But as you can see, we've picked off probably the easier ones. And as we go into the out years, it's the number is decreasing as the size and complexity increases. Also, in terms of delivery, the $279 million in payments represents 101 contracts that were let in preservation, bridge, safety, modernization, operation, and local programs. We have done a variety of things within the department with the advent of OTIA and also with the downturn in the economy to try and accelerate projects. This gets to the service delivery question. We've tried to take advantage of several federal programs, one called Advanced Construct, where we can federalize all of our state projects and, as the federal fiscal year begins, ask for reimbursement of those projects, and over time we actually build up some cash flow where we can identify new projects that we can accelerate. It over a period of time through the advanced construction program, we can generate the equivalent of 1 year's construction funds for the state, which is about $225 million. So the commission has directed us to use that program and has allocated $100 million of that to these federal earmarks, and also $100 million of that to the bridge program. In addition, we've done a pilot program with the federal government called TEO 45, where the federal government has allowed us to use as a credit the $100 million of the OTIA program as match, so that when we generally ask for reimbursement from the federal government, it's at a 90-10 or 80-20, we get 100% reimbursement using the OTIA credit. We've also moved with OTIA to outsourcing. The OTIA program, the $500 million, came with no additional increases in staff. We have reallocated within the organization. We've created a delivery unit that specializes in pushing contracts out the door from start to finish. Where we had historically have used consultants to supplement our work, we are now using consultants from beginning to end of projects, and ODOT has become a consultant project manager that from preliminary design through right away. The only piece that we are continuing to hold on to is the claims portion of the contracting process. We have used a number of the techniques that the legislature allowed us in terms of how we contract. We're using design build, and that has become very effective for us. We're using what we call alternative delivery, where we qualifications based for projects such as the St. John's Bridge, where we pre-qualified contractors prior to bidding. We have used incentives for time, like on the Medford Viaduct, where we are actually closing two freeway lanes down. Time is of the essence on that, so we have bid that with a time component. So we are trying to use as many techniques as possible, and it is our hope that those contracting exemptions will continue through the next biennium. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Doug now.
Presuming they didn't have any questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Apparently not.
Great. I'm gonna talk about how we use our budget, and I'm on page 150 and 151 here. And I Representative Krieger's comment about what all this means and how do you assimilate all this stuff, I think is right on target. There's a whole bunch of numbers on this page. I'm gonna try and describe generally what these go for. You've heard the overview of the program, so it all goes in those areas. But just quickly, most of our money comes in the highway fund, shown as transfers in on page 150. Those are funds that are dedicated funds to motor vehicle operation and so forth, and they're dedicated to highway improvements. Also shown as bond proceeds on that same page up above the transfers in is where the OTIA money's coming in. And the third major portion of our federal funding comes in as federal funds as other. Almost all the federal funds we get have a match requirement, a state match requirement. Many of the federal funds, in fact, almost all of the federal funds are dedicated to specific uses. We call them colors of money, but you have federal bridge and you have federal other types of federal money that come in. The federal government sets aside a lot of money. A category is the National Highway System money. It can only be used on National Highway System roads. The state highway system has a lot of National Highway System roads. There are also some on local systems. Another category is interstate maintenance. All of these colors of money, or all of these categories of federal fund, come in as part of an annual authorization, which is part of the overall federal program, which is a six-year program.
Doug, what is the local government transfer in money?
It's the, thank you, Chair Dukes. I love that voice in the back. It's the match on local projects, for could be federal match on local projects or other match on local projects.
You don't actually see that in terms of cash, do you?
Chair Dukes, we would if we're making the a lot of times the contract payments will go through us, and so if we're making the contract payment, we would actually see that coming in. The expenditure side of it, the use of funds, which is on 151, we're needs driven. I think as we've discussed before, we have more needs than we have revenue. We try and do the best we can to keep the pavements in good condition, to keep the bridges in good condition, and overall to keep the system safe. But it is a truly a balancing act. This budget reflects payments to contractors up substantially from the 0103 budget, mostly because of OTIA, but also it's partially because of some of the things that John talked about in terms of innovative financing. We are doing everything we can to get our hands on every dollar to get it out on the road and keep things as good as in as good a condition as we possibly can. And John talked about some of the innovative ways that we're doing contracting now. Senator Morris, really goes to your question about how do we get this money on the road more quickly. The ending balances are sort of a fact of, at least largely a fact of how you sell the bonds and when the bond proceeds come in and so forth. But we all of the things we're doing, we're increasing our program substantially with in doing that with our existing resources, our existing FTE. And so we are looking at all of those innovative ways that we can turn as much of this over to the private sector to get it out as quickly as possible. Even with all of that, we're still going to have, because of the bond sales, we're still going to have pretty substantial ending balances for a while. But we are cranking the work out as quickly as possible. The other challenges that we have within this budget, that we're funded within this budget, we've talked about just generally, we have an aging system. And the costs are going up because the system's getting older. So the traffic volumes are going up. We're having to do more work at night. A lot of our major interstate work is done at night to avoid an impact on the traveling public. We have Senator Dukes talked about our revenue wavers somewhat depending on the amount of miles people are driving, and also more recently on the types of cars they have. So those are all challenges as we try and do as good a job keeping the system up to date as we possibly can.
Can I ask a question? On page 150, mm-hmm. You've got available revenue. Now, we've transferred in and we've transferred out. Without a calculator, is this $1.9 billion what's left over after we transferred in and we transferred out?
Right. Yes.
So that would then become part of the ending balance?
Chair Dukes, we're going to spend a lot of that $1.9 billion. Some of that $1.9 billion will become part of the ending balance, but if you can see the next page, right, just directly down below that, you see the total uses are $1.56 billion. That's on page 151.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have to be?
The total revenue, or the available revenue, includes the beginning balance that we go into the biennium with.
Transfers out doesn't include your budget because you
That's right.
keep it.
That's okay. correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, right. The our budget expenditures are shown on page 151. There are three policy option packages in this area. Early on, Senator Morris asked about the overall direction to hold the line on staff levels, and we appreciate that and we understand that. But we wanted to bring these packages to you to talk about what we feel we need to do to improve service in a couple of areas. And so I'm going to talk about three areas where we think we can improve service, but we understand the pressures the committee is under in terms of holding the line on staff levels. The first is the alternative delivery unit. This is, as John talked about, our new method of doing business requires us, puts us into a contract management or consultant management type of scenario. And
we need some positions. We feel that we need some positions to sort of get over the hump, because we have a whole bunch of jobs that are still in the pipeline that are being developed along the more traditional method, and we need our folks to keep working on those things. And we're asking for four positions to help us facilitate the change to a more outsourced environment, make sure that the consultants and contractors are successful. While it's a culture change for ODOT, I think it's a culture change on the other side too, is they're used to more oversight from ODOT and being able to ask and get questions answered. So there's probably both sides of the story to asking for those four positions to help us do that better.
Well, we'll probably need a lot more explanation when you get to that one, because we had the strange thought when we pushed design build, that's our term, not yours, that there were going to be fewer ODOT people. So
Chair Dukes, actually...
There may be more, so...
In the long term, again, this within this budget itself, with a very, very few increase in staff that I'm sort of talking about here, about four positions, we're taking on $300 million of additional contract payments. So a whole lot more work is going out the door by using these innovative contracting techniques. Again, as the...
But are there positions somewhere else that we don't have?
Chair Dukes, we have shifted a lot of positions over.
I didn't ask about shifted over. I just meant, did we lose any? Did we eliminate any positions? And then now we need them here?
I think and I can't remember what page it's on, but I think in total the number of positions in Highway Division is down from where it was in the 2001-03 biennium.
That is a result of design build, or is that just because we burnt away at positions?
I think it's both, probably. I'm not going to attribute it all to design build, because we're just getting started into design build.
You can understand where.
Absolutely, and I think
I started with you asking for more people, and now I'm trying to figure out. We went deliberately down a path a couple of sessions ago of saying we've got this great idea. Now, I don't know if it was a great idea or not, and I'm never going to know if we don't. Aren't able to see what it did to the projects and what it did to the agency.
Well, Chair Dukes,
Senator Morris, now this is going to be a long work session, isn't it?
Chair Dukes, I think you can look at what we're doing. There's no way that we could have done this many the projects that are projected by this budget with our current staff had we not taken on those new innovative techniques. So while I wouldn't necessarily attribute a big decrease in positions, I can attribute a significant increase in work with the same number of positions. And I think as you see over time, as we move to that, you'll see that we'll get to where we have a stable base of positions to be able to provide the expertise we need to provide. And we'll be delivering a far larger program per employee, I guess, than what we did in the past, and we already are with this budget.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the rare moments I rise in defense of an agency. I applaud this direction and certainly understand that given the workload, existing capacity of staff, and now a new way of looking at it requires staffing. I mean, that to me is very, very clear. What will be interesting is as this plays out over time is how that staffing level will change and the productivity per FTE. It's a little early in the curve to see where this will actually benefit, but I feel that what you're doing is on track.
See it in numbers and things like that.
Certainly.
So we go off on these tangents once in a while, and then we never know whether it was good or bad. And if you come back 10 years later, it's usually pendulum, it's usually swung the other way. Go ahead.
Okay. Chair Dukes, I don't believe that that's going to be the case here. I think we're doing the right thing. And I think it's going to benefit ODOT, and I think it's going to benefit Oregonians in terms of being able to see projects delivered more quickly. The design build, a couple of projects we've done so far, some bridges over in region in eastern Oregon were very successful, done with very little ODOT involvement and completed projects that were good projects. A second program option package in the highway area is local government. Last Wednesday, there was some testimony from local governments talking about how they benefit from ODOT being able to support them in either money that we pass through from federal governments or money that we give to local governments, for instance, for the OTIA projects. The local government projects are increasing. You saw in the local government discussion a very small number of FTE that are dedicated to managing a pretty significant program, a pretty significant local program. Also, the FHWA has indicated some concern about ODOT's oversight of local projects. So both the customer and the funder of this money that's going out to the locals are suggesting that we could do a little bit better job, and so we're asking for a few more positions in local government to support local government projects. Finally, you will hear more about access management on Wednesday, but we're asking for additional positions for access management. And I want to assure you that these are positions. Senator Dukes raised some questions about, do you have anybody to talk to? These are positions that will be out in the field for access management. And there's positions both dealing with accesses on construction projects, where we're going in and looking at what's out there now and trying to ensure that access continues throughout a construction project. There's also positions that are here to respond to requests when people come in and want a driveway, they want access to an ODOT highway, are contained in this program option package. It's 14 positions, and again, they are all, I think all except for one, are out in the field. And this is a workload issue. This is a customer service. We can do better and quicker response to people. And it is an area where ODOT gets a lot of concern. Of course, the quicker response may be a quicker no, but it also, I think, will give us the ability to work through some of those issues and get to, it seems to me that it's incumbent on us that if we're going to say no, we have to explain why in terms that somebody can understand. And these types of positions will give us more time to spend time with the people who are requesting accesses and give them that answer and give them good service.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, just to wrap up, the final question that the committee asked was, what can be expected in terms of outcomes from this budget? I think, as the performance measures indicate, one outcome that the system will continue to decline without additional resources. But we will strive to keep the highways safe and open, and I think that through things like posting, like we've done on Interstate 5, on the Willamette River Bridge and the McKenzie River Bridge, you will see more of that as the bridges in the state continue to deteriorate. You will also see the first priority to keep the roads open. We will respond to emergency repair and disasters, similar to what we did on Highway 101 and what we've done on the bridge in Nissa, where problems developed. You can also expect that we will continue to deliver the STIP to obligate all our federal money and to meet the obligations of both OTIA 1 and OTIA 2. Also, this budget we have reintroduced what we refer to as the development STIP. That is trying to get projects ready so that they're shelf ready when new money does become available. This is something we didn't have with OTIA 1 and OTIA 2. We spent a year identifying projects in order to have projects that were to get into the STIP, and then it's taken a year in some cases, some a little less, some a little more, to get those projects ready for construction. But I think that in the 2003-2005 budget, you can expect to see a lot of the OTIA projects that have been identified that are currently in design on the street and under construction. This budget also the policy option package 105 on environmental permitting, that is actually ODOT assisting Division of State Lands with some funding for some positions dedicated to assisting ODOT in getting the necessary permits for bridges. Currently in the first five phases of the bridge options package, we have over 400 bridges. We are trying to obtain a programmatic permit where we can group, either get one permit or a handful of permits for all of those bridges rather than 400 individual permits. This budget, you will also see us continuing in the outsourcing model that I spoke about earlier and that Doug spoke about. We are looking at the consultant community to address a significant amount of the workload in terms of changing the way ODOT and particularly the Highway Division does business. And I think with that, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Senator Morris.
I'm not sure whether this is taken under, whether my question was previously answered by your question regarding the beginning and ending balances. On your summary, you show a beginning balance less than is shown on your document that was presented at the very beginning. You have 400 and some in the document that I looked at earlier was 500 and some. And I wondered if that is a...
Chair Dukes, Senator Morris, this is only Highway Division. The number you saw before was the whole department.
Right. Is it possible to look at a budget just for engineering and to do it over time as we do these others over the last 2-3 biennia? And to look at FTE and total dollar numbers and maybe total number of projects. It sort of gets absorbed into everybody else's budget.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, our technical services branch, which is one of the functional areas, that does contain a significant portion of the engineering function of the Highway Division. We could certainly give you that individual budget. I suspect it is in the... what has been handed out, but if that would assist you.
Okay, then you could also give me something else that tells me what's not in there, where engineering is in other places too?
Madam Chair, yes, we can certainly do that.
Does that include number of projects for each biennium?
Madam Chair, we can certainly break down, I believe, the projects we anticipate to do with our resources within the biennium, yes.
Actually, what I'm thinking is, they design projects that we don't ever get to build. I mean, things happen. They discover a tribal burial ground or something, and it gets moved out. And so I'm actually trying to get a feel for the workload that they're carrying. So what I'm looking for is the number of projects that they were working on or designed in that particular biennium, which may not be the same number that were on the ground.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think we can provide you that information.
Thank you.
Did you want a history of that? I mean, did you have a specific timeline in mind?
No, maybe the last couple of biennia.
Okay. The period that this budget covers,
yeah.
Maybe? Okay. We could start with central services if you want to move on.
Sure.
Thank you.
I thought you were saying you didn't have your own.
Good morning, Chair Dix, members of the subcommittee. Susie's just handed you out a handout overview for the Central Services Division. Central Services is the, if you look on page 2, Central Services is the department's centralized
function for financial services, information systems, internal auditors, human resources, purchasing, and business services. A variety of functions are combined in the central area to provide services to all the program divisions. I think we've talked earlier about there is a this program unit is funded by assessments from Atmos program divisions, which pay in to help support the services provided to the agency overall. On page 2, you'll see a budget comparison for the division over time. You take a look between the difference between 2001-03 close of session and the 2003-05 governor's budget, you'll see a slight increase of about 2%. The change from the figure through fifth special session and the governor's budget increase of 4%. So essentially this area is pretty much flat in terms of any kind of increases. On page 3, like I just said, there is a small percentage increase here for the budget for 03-05. The governor's budget for Central Services Division does continue core services while making some reductions. It attempts to respond to agency revenue and program needs by adding audit, technical, and contract staff. It also supports adjustments to implement an agency ramp pilot, allocate positions to the appropriate classifications, and align budget line items with expenditures. On page 4, you'll see that the division's budget overall is $116.6 million total funds. Personal services is about just under 70% of the budget, and the remaining is in services supplies and a very small amount in capital outlay expenditures. Page 5, how we built a budget for 2003-05 was we started with the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget of $114.3 million. Added in some legislatively approved actions that occurred up through April of 2002. And the November 2001 Emergency Board approved a limited duration position and some funding to provide us technical assistance to the Motor Vehicle Fuel Task Force. This had been added in. The April 2002 Emergency Board approved the transfer of 57 trucks tax audit positions from Central Services to Motor Carrier. When we talked about the Motor Carrier Program Unit, we mentioned this transfer as well. And also approved was the transfer in from Highway Division of 6 Civil Rights Program positions that we discussed earlier today. The net impact for Central Services for this April 2002 action was a decrease of $5.9 million other funds and 51 positions. We've included some base budget adjustments for 2003 position actions and compensation changes. Moving on to page 6, essential packages for this program unit include some adjustments for temporaries, overtime, and mass transit tax in package 010, about $200,000 there. Package 020 includes some program adjustments related to emergency board and other one-time actions. There's a phase-out of one-time expenditures for fleet acquisition costs, the value pricing program, a fuel tax grant, the transportation operating fund study. This was the study that helped determine the amount of money for the lawnmower fund, as we talked about before, and also some contracted information system services, a phase-out or reduction of about $540,000 in this package as well as some phase-in of expenditures. We moved the agency administrative rules coordinator from Motor Vehicle Services Division to the central function and also have included some expenditures related to phase two of the value pricing program. The total increase there is about $1 million and also one position. Package 030 includes inflation and price list adjustments, inflation and state government service charges of about $1.4 million for costs increased there. On page 7, policy packages in the Central Services Division. Package 070 relating to revenue shortfalls and adjustments, a decrease of $6.6 million. We talked quite a bit about how the department allocates its highway fund revenue and resources across the program divisions. Central Services impact regarding this allocation was it eliminated 12 positions. These positions were in the areas of communications, financial services, human resources, and information systems. It's across, you know, a pretty broad specter of what the Central Services Division provides. Package 081 relates to the actions taken during the 2002 third special session. A reduction of $62,000 is related to the elimination of cost of living increases for positions at salary range 38 or above. And as discussed before, we realize that there's also adjustments related to no merit increases and some other compensation actions that need to be incorporated as well. Package 187 relates to the Mill Creek building rent pilot. This is a package has a net zero impact. Information Systems Branch is part of the Central Services Division, and they, along with some other units like rail, are located in the Mill Creek building. This package implements a rent pilot where the units housed in that building are going to pay in to a central fund to provide maintenance and other support activities for that building. How this is funded is within Information Systems Grant. There's a rent payment of $102,000 that's added. At the same time, some other services and supplies expenditures are decreased, so there's no bottom line impact to that unit's budget. On page 8, other policy packages in Central Services Division. Package 430 relates to a rent increase. This makes some adjustments among services and supplies line items to align the budget with estimated expenditures. It's going to increase the rent line item and at the same time decrease some other service and supplies line items. Package 470 relates to increased audit recovery, $162,000 here. This would add two positions to perform fuel tax compliance work. These auditors would focus on non-filers and new licensees, and the package is expected to be self-supporting through revenue from increased audit recoveries. The agency's determined that there's room here to provide resources to work on some of this auditing filing work, and in return should see some revenue through that activity. Package 471 is a position for a database administrator. This position, the department expects this position would help reduce costs, increase stability, and preserve agency knowledge of database systems. Some of this work is contracted out, but the agency is concerned that without having the in-house permanent-type staff, they're going to lose some of that knowledge as contractors change. The package amount of $157,000 is supported by a corresponding reduction in professional services for contractors' payments. So this is a self-funded package. On page 9, package 472, Intelligent Transportation Systems Support Coordinator, $85,000. This adds one sixth position, I believe that's an information specialist sixth position, to maintain ITS devices in Region 5. This package is supported by a decrease in service and supplies and an interfund transfer from highway operations. I mentioned this when we talked about the highway operations program unit earlier today. Package 473 would adjust a couple of positions that are incorrectly classified at the current time. These two positions have been looked at, and there's been a comparison made between the current position classification and the actual work activities. It's been determined they're not classified appropriately currently. The package would cost about $30,000 to make the appropriate classification adjustments. In order to pay for that, the division would reduce some other expenditures to offset that. Since the time of the governor's budget, I believe the department has also identified one other position they would like to correct the classification on as well, and any change in funding there would be supported by a decrease in other line items. Package 475 on page 10. This is a grants contract coordinator position that costs about $135,000 for the biennium. This position would address actual and projected increases in the volume and complexity of contracts. The department has seen a higher percentage of contracts over this current biennium, anticipates to see more. Like other expenditures in this division, it is supported by the Central Services Assessment revenue from the sending program units. And then since the development of the governor's budget, the department has identified another issue we'd like to have resolved. Currently, there's a position associated with the Dispute Resolution Commission that's within the department's budget. They would like to go ahead and eliminate this position and replace that function with some dollars for professional services expenditures that could support contracting of those services. I don't know where the Dispute Resolutions Commission's budget is in process. I know that over the last biennium, the commission had worked to identify a plan to restructure some of its services. I don't know if that's been finalized or not. Knowing that that's still unresolved, the Department of Transportation wanted to go ahead and do something with that position in their budget to try and go ahead and get some dollars in a line item that would allow them either to get contracted services from the commission or for someone else if they need to be able to deal with dispute issues. And that concludes my governor's overview. Do you have any questions?
Madam Chair, if not,
well,
I can
just
go in.
Well,
or
and I suspect members going out the door. So we're all prepped and we can start in tomorrow.
Thank you.
Right. With that, we're adjourned.